जय राधमाधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरे भरे धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरे भरे धारी Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Chira Vananchari Yamuna Tira Vananchari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Gire Vare Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Gire Vare Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Gire Vare Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Gire Vare Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamunati Dhavanachari. Yamunati Dhavanachari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayo Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravadakacharya Starasatva Shishu Madhavang Grace. Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravajakacharya Sarasvata Shri Srimad Savangre Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada ki
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 7, Text 9. Yatra Havava Bhagavan Hari Adya Api Tatratyanam Nijadananam Vatsalyena Sanidhapyate Ichcha Rupena. I don't know if this can be chanted. This is prose. It's not. Oh, yatra havava. We can try it. Yatra havava Bhagavan. Hari radyapi tatratyanam. Nija jananam vatsalyena. Sanidhapyata. Ichcha rupena yatra havava bhagavan harir adyapi tatratyanam nija jananam vatsalyena sanidhapyata ichcha rupena Yatra Havava Bhagavan Harir Adyapita Tatyanam Nija Jananam Vatsalyena Sanidhapyata Ichcha Rupena. Yatra,
where?
Havava,
certainly,
Bhagavan,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Hari,
the Lord,
Adya Api,
even today,
Tatratyanam,
residing in that place,
Nijajananam,
for his own devotees,
Vatsalyena,
by his transcendental affection,
Sanidhapyate, becomes visible.
Iccha rupena,
according to the desire of the devotee. Translation. At Pulaha Ashram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, out of his transcendental affection for his devotee, becomes visible to his devotees, satisfying his devotees' desires. Purport. The Lord always exists in different transcendental forms, as stated in Brahma Samhita 539, Ramadi Murti Shukalaniya Mena Tishtan, Nanavataram Akaro Bhuvaneshu Kintu, Krishna Svayam Samabhavat Paramapumanyo, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. The Lord is situated as Himself, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and He is accompanied by His expansions like Lord Rama, Baladev, Sankarsana, Narayana, Mahavishnu, and so forth. The devotees worship all these forms according to their liking, and the Lord, out of His affection, presents Himself as Achara Vigraha. He sometimes presents Himself personally before the devotee out of reciprocation or affection. Devotee is always fully surrendered to the loving service of the Lord. The Lord is visible to the devotee according to the devotee's desires. He may be present in the form of Lord Rama, Lord Krishna, Lord Nrisimhadev, and so on. Such is the exchange of love between the Lord and His devotees. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshu On Minitam Dhyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Hukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Garim Yad Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gunundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvashesha Shanyavari Pastacha Desitarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I guess he's about Bharat Maharaj when he went off. To where? Pulaha Ashram. And at this place at Pulaha Ashram, the Supreme Lord, out of his affection for his devotee, becomes visible to his devotee, satisfying his devotee's desires. Prabhupada explains in the commentary that the Lord exists in different forms. He exists in the form as Lord Ram, Krishna, Sankarsana, Baladev, Narayan, Mahavishnu, and so forth. And then out of a natural affection that he has for his devotees, whatever form which is most dear to the heart of the devotee upon which the devotee meditates, the Lord is very much inclined to reciprocate and to appear in a in that particular form according to the meditation of the devotee. When I read this, it made me think of a similar verse with much more detailed explanation from the Srimad Bhagavatam in the third canto. And it's about Lord Brahma in his meditation upon the form of the Lord. And I thought I would read that verse in conjunction with this verse and then explain both of them. This is third canto, ninth chapter, 11th verse. I'll just read the translation. O my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed and you take your seat there, you are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. Purport. The statement here that the Lord manifests himself before the devotee in the form in which the devotee likes to worship him indicates that the Lord becomes subordinate to the desire of the devotee, so much so that he manifests his particular form as the devotee demands. This demand of the devotee is satisfied by the Lord because he is pliable in terms of the transcendental loving service of the devotee. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.11, Ye yata mam prapajyate, tangs tataiva vajamyaham. We should note, however, that the Lord is never the order supplier of the devotee. Here in this verse, it is particularly mentioned, Tvam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita. This indicates the efficiency achieved through the execution of mature devotional service, or prema, love of Godhead. This state of prema is achieved by the gradual process of development from faith to love. On faith, one associates with bona fide devotees, and by such association, one can become engaged in bona fide devotional service, which includes proper initiation and the execution of the primary devotional duties prescribed in the revealed scriptures. This is clearly indicated herein by the word shutekshita. The shutekshita path is to hear from bona fide devotees who are conversant with Vedic wisdom, free from mundane sentiment. By this bona fide hearing process, the neophyte devotee becomes cleansed of all material rubbish, and thus he becomes attached to one of the many transcendental forms of the Lord, as described in the Vedas. This attachment of the devotee to a particular form of the Lord is due to natural inclination. Each and every living entity is originally attached to a particular type of transcendental service because he is eternally the servitor of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya says that the living entity is eternally a servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Therefore, every living entity has a particular type of service relationship with the Lord eternally. This particular attachment is invoked by practice of regulative devotional service to the Lord, and thus the devotee becomes attached to the eternal form of the Lord, exactly like one who is already eternally attached. This attachment for a particular form of the Lord is called Swarup Siddhi. The Lord sits on the lotus heart of the devotee in the eternal form the pure devotee desires, and thus the Lord does not part from the devotee as confirmed in the previous verse. The Lord, however, does not disclose himself to a casual or unauthentic worshipper to be exploited. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Naham Prakasha Shavishya Yogamaya Samavrita. Rather, by Yogamaya, the Lord remains concealed to the non-devotees or casual devotees who are serving their sense gratification. The Lord is never visible to the pseudo-devotees who worship the demigods in charge of universal affairs. The conclusion is that the Lord cannot become the order supplier of a pseudo-devotee, but he is always prepared to respond to the desire of a pure, unconditional devotee who is free from all tinges of material infection. I thought that was something, a good additional, elaborate from the words of our Samstapakacharya, Srila Prabhupada. It relates to the same point about how the Lord manifests himself according to the intense desire of a devotee, and Prabhupada quotes the verse, Pajante tungsta taiva bhajamyaham, that as you surrender unto me, I reciprocate, I reward accordingly. So Srila Prabhupada clearly makes the point that the Lord will not reciprocate or manifest himself in any way a according to the desire of a whimsical devotee. But the verse itself, spoken by Lord Brahma, explains that the devotee cultivates an attachment first to hearing about the Lord. Without cultivating an attachment to hearing about the Lord and his unlimited forms and his variety of pastimes and the varieties of ways he reciprocates with his pure unalloyed devotees, there's no question of having a sufficiently purified heart which could then dictate for the Lord to appear to the devotee in a particular form, because the Lord only appears to pure devotees. And the Lord cannot, as Prabhupada explained, does not become an order supplier to the pseudo-devotee, meaning that the pseudo-devotee may wish to see a particular form of the Lord, but because he's a pseudo-devotee who has failed to undergo the adequate process of cleansing, purification, shinvatasvakata krishna punyashavana kirtana, he's failed to listen to the pastimes of the Lord. He thinks that he already has awakened some spontaneous attraction, and therefore, due to some misconception, he may think that the Lord is the more preferred form for me, is for the Lord to reciprocate according to this particular desire. But the pseudo-devotee thinks that he can meditate on that form without first having cleansed the heart through hearing. And a point that, very important point, that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, no, actually not Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, excuse me, his Jiva Goswami, explains in this connection. He specifically states that that it's not that one can meditate on a form that's attracted to the Lord, or a form of the Lord which one wants to see the Lord, and think that without having first heard what are the features of that form of the Lord from the scriptures, that the Lord will just simply give him that form for revelation or realization. In other words, Jiva Goswami makes very clear the point that it has to be an authorized form. It has to be a form that is actually eternally manifest in the spiritual world. And whether it be that of Lord Ram, whether that be that of Lord Balaram, as Prabhupada gives the different examples, there are particular features, and they're not subjective features of the Lord. They're factual features that the Lord is eternally manifesting in the spiritual world. Therefore, first, one has to hear the descriptions of those features so that one can meditate on an authorized form and not on a fabricated form. I mean, just as many times devotees, when they were painting, you know, the different paintings for Srila Prabhupada for his books, they always went to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada would say, yes, yes, and this Lord looks like this, looks like that. No, that's not right. He would correct anything. And Prabhupada, of course, you know, having understood the different descriptions the Lord has given in the scriptures, and having realized, of course, therefore he can correct whatever detail which may not be accurate in the artist's representation of his conception of the Lord. There may be variety. Sometimes devotees say, well, how come Krishna looks so different? According, when Indians paint Krishna, Krishna looks Indian. When Americans paint Indian, paints Krishna, he looks like, you know, seems like there's some subjectiveness there. You know, according to the artist's conception, how he perceives Krishna in his mind. But nonetheless, the details of his form are given as to, you know, the markings on his body, the lines on his neck are like a conch shell, the earrings, his hair and how it flows, and his forehead, and all these descriptions are given by self-realized souls who have actually realized the features of the Lord, not through just having heard. And Jiva Goswami explains there are different ways of realizing the form of the Lord. The first is called mantra upasana. Mantra Upasana means is that one hears a particular detailed description of the Lord, and it's a mantra, a verse, whatever it may be, that one meditates on. And then by constant meditation on Mantra Upasana, which is transcendental revelation of a particular feature of the Lord, then gradually through, with purified heart and again through continuous hearing, then it gradually becomes manifest as Svarasakhi. And Svarasakhi is actually when the devotee not only sees this Mantra Upasana is sort of like a, what's an analogy? Like, for instance, in the old days when they used to have videos with frames. Yeah, frames, videos, same thing, right? There's a frame. So Mantra Upasana is like a frame, right? You take a frame with a picture, and then you look at that. It's just a frame. It's just a picture. We see Krishna's feature, or here's a frame, Mantra Upasana. His mother, Jasoda, she's reaching out to Krishna, who's returning from the pasturing ground. She has particular features. Krishna has particular features. And you've got this frame, this picture. But this frame is one of many frames. When put together, you have a whole pastime, a whole leela. And Svarasakhi is a devotee who experiences the whole leela, and not just the frame. And Jiva Goswami gives the analogy of just like a river may be flowing, and there may be many lakes in the river. So there's different lakes where the water is, you know, is there, it's not flowing as rapidly as the river. And then, and you put all those lakes together in sequence. Oh, there's a lake here, there's another lake there. But the river is the continuous flowing. So the Mantra Upasana is like the lake, right, particular spot. But Svarasakhi is like the river, the whole flow of the pastime. And therefore, for those devotees who worship the Lord, first by authorized hearing of the transcendental descriptions of the Lord. Oh, case in point, actually. I always think of this example of Mantra Upasana. I'll give you an example of Mantra Upasana, of a verse from the Bhagavatam, if I can find it quickly. It's in the 10th canto, when Shukadeva Goswami is describing Mother Jasoda. And Prabhupada specifically, he doesn't say Mantra Upasana, but he's specifically speaking about this. 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. It may take me a second, but it's worth a second waiting. 10th canto, and it's Mother Jasoda. And in this, I believe it's the second verse. No, maybe it's the third verse. Yes, here it is. It's the verse 10.9.3. The verse describes, dressed in saffron yellow sari, with a belt tied about her full hips, Mother Jasoda pulled on the churning rope, laboring considerably, her bangles and earrings moving and vibrating, and her whole body shaking. Because of her intense love for her child, her breasts were wet with milk, her face with its very beautiful eyebrows was wet with perspiration, and malati flowers were falling from her hair. So just here, this is a snapshot. Mother Jasoda, she's journeying. Okay, but, you know, Mantra Upasana is also about the Ragatmaka devotees, the eternal associates of the Lord. Not just the Lord, but actually his eternal associates of the Lord. And this is Mother Jasoda. So here you have a picture of Jasoda. What is she doing? She's churning butter. You know, flowers are falling from her hair. Her bangles are vibrating, right? Her breasts are wet with milk flowing from her breasts. Because why? Because she's chanting, singing songs about her son, and she's preparing butter for her son and thinking of her son while she's doing it. Therefore, her motherly affection is increasing more because of her meditation on preparing the butter. So you have this snapshot. And Prabhupada says in the purport, Anyone who desires to be Krishna conscious in motherly affection or parental affection should contemplate the bodily features of Mother Yashoda. It is not that one should desire to become like Yashoda, for this is Mayavad. Either in parental affection or conjugal love, friendship or servitorship, in any way we must follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, not try to become like them. Therefore, this description is provided here. Advanced devotees must cherish this description, always thinking of Mother Yashoda's features, how she was dressed, how she was working and perspiring, how beautifully the flowers were arranged in her hair, and so on. One should take advantage of the full description provided here by thinking of Mother Yashoda and maternal affection for Krishna. Mantra Upasana. You take a verse, you meditate. It's an attraction. If one, you know, of course, has a particular attraction for service to Krishna in that particular way, then not only do you meditate on the particular form which is attracted to those devotees, like Mother Yashoda, she's attracted to young Gopal, her son. She always sees Krishna as her, you know, as a young son. She meditates on Krishna's childhood form. So not only is the form, but what about the devotee who serves that form? How do they meditate on, and how do they serve him? How do they serve him? Because if we meditate on their service to them, right, not that we think that we can become like them, or not that we think that we can serve without first knowing how the devotees who serve him purely are serving him, then we can't just jump the queue, so to speak. Jump the queue and think, okay, let me, sorry, Yashoda, this today it's for me. You can't do that. You can't do that. That's sahaja. You can't do that. So therefore a devotee, when he's attracted to a particular form, then he becomes attracted to the devotees who serve their Lord in that particular form. Just like if you hear, like in Chaitanya Bhagavat, about Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta was always meditating on Lord Ramachandra, because who was Murari Gupta? He was Hanuman. He was Hanuman. And he wouldn't give up. As much as Lord Chaitanya tried to convince him, you know, go for something, Murari Gupta couldn't give it up. He came back and confessed to the Lord, I have to give up my body because I can't give it up. Lord Ram is my worshipful Lord. And then Lord Chaitanya glorified, as fortunate as that devotee who can't give up his worshipful Lord. His Lord, when a devotee meditates on the Lord drags him by the hair, pulls him, and accepts him. That's Lord Chaitanya's statement. So what did Lord Chaitanya do when during the Mahaprakash Leela? When Lord Chaitanya, he called Murari Gupta, and Murari Gupta came to him, and then what did he do? He said, look, Murari, look who I am. Look who I am. Just Murari Gupta looked up and he saw this most beautiful form of Lord Ramachandra. It's manifest before him. It's Lord Chaitanya, but he assumed that form according to the pure, intense desire of service of his devotee. So therefore, not only do we meditate on a particular form of the Lord that may be, you know, given in the authorized and hear those particular descriptions in the scriptures, but we also meditate on the devotees who serve the Lord who who's attached to that particular form of the Lord. And therefore, it's the most complete way to approach the Lord, dasa, dasa, anudas, in order to have that transcendental form, to become qualified to have that transcendental form revealed to the devotee. So the point is that Prabhupada very clearly makes here in this commentary is that for the pseudo-devotees, the whimsical devotees who think, let me just jump in and then just, you know, conceive or meditate on something that we haven't first heard in an authorized way revealed. Like we're reading the revealed scriptures. They're the revealed scriptures. They're revealed to the hearts of the devotees who are experiencing Svarasakhi. You know, when Sanatana Goswami is writing Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you know, Sanatana Goswami is giving us he's revealing to us, you know, what he's experiencing in his internal reciprocal experience of the Lord and his devotees. So in the same way, these features of the Lord, these descriptions are given in the revealed scriptures by the devotees who've actually fully qualified themselves to see, as Krishna states, as Lord Brahma states, what is it? How he... Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santak sadaiva hridayeshu vilokiyanti. Govinda adipurusham tamagam bhajami. Right? That when one's eyes are anointed with the salve of love of Godhead, then form becomes very, of the Lord, the Lord becomes very inclined to reveal himself to that particular devotee when his eyes are smeared with love. So the pseudo-devotees are the ones who think that, okay, let me meditate on this particular form without first having heard. And without having first heard and without first meditating on the descriptions given in the scriptions by those who've actually given the authorized descriptions in the revealed scriptures. We meditate on those verses because they give us a detailed snapshot. They give us a detailed snapshot that we can meditate in. And therefore it's recommended that the devotees learn verses. In fact, Jiva Goswami explains that in the Sandarbhas, when he speaks about mantra upasana and swarasiki, he says the devotee, when he actually develops an attraction for a particular form of the Lord, which is a genuine attraction, not just a whimsical attraction, which is born of a desire for sense gratification, but a genuine attraction. So the devotee then finds particular verses which give very detailed descriptions of that form of the Lord, and the devotee then daily recites those verses and meditates on them. And then by daily recitation and meditation and a cleansing of the heart from hearing from the revealed scriptures about the genuine features of the Lord, then of course and heart becomes purified, sufficiently purified, and in a purified heart, the Lord reciprocates and manifests according to this verse. Today, the Prabhupada says, at Pulaha Ashram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, out of his transcendental affection for his devotee, becomes visible to his devotee. And Prabhupada says in today's verse, the Lord always exists in different transcendental forms, as stated in Brahma Samhita, Ramadi, Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishtan. The Lord is situated as himself, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is accompanied by his expansions like Lord Ram, Baladev, Sankarsana, Narayan, Mahavishnu, and so forth. The devotees worship all of these forms according to their liking, and the Lord, out of his affection, presents himself as Achavigraha. He sometimes presents himself personally before the devotee out of reciprocation or affection. A devotee is always fully surrendered to the loving service of the Lord. And Prabhupada makes that point in the other purport I read, is that first it has to be service, not that one can demand. Because the Lord doesn't become the order supplier to the demands for a whimsical pseudo-devotee. He sometimes presents himself personally before the devotee out of reciprocation or affection. Devotee is always fully surrendered to the loving service of the Lord. And the Lord is visible to the devotee according to the devotee's desires. He may be present in the form of Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, Lord Nrisimhadev, and so on. Such is the exchange of love between the Lord and his devotees. I'm going to stop. I have a schedule to follow. Any questions? Yes?
In the proposal, Prabhupada is saying he sometimes presents himself personally before the devotee out of reciprocation or affection. Is there a difference between reciprocation and affection?
He reciprocates with those who have affection.
Because it is like reciprocation or affection, so it could be anger and so forth.
Yes. Well, those who have affection for the Lord, genuine affection for the Lord, then the point is that Krishna reciprocates due to their love. So, of course, affection can be seen as something that which is not as intense as love, as prema. Oh, I have a particular affection for that form. So, yes, the Lord reciprocates, even the devotee has particular affection by giving that devotee the opportunity to hear about that which he has some affection for. That's his reciprocation. But it may not, it's not reciprocation for those who have love, he reveals. So reciprocation is there by getting the opportunity to hear. That's reciprocation. How else can we actually come to the platform of love? Satampa sangam mamaviri sambado bhavanti hritkana hritsaya nakata. As with the verse describes, in the association of devotees, the devotees get the opportunity to hear about the pastimes of the Lord. And he becomes attached to hearing. It enters into the ear, goes into the heart. And then what happens is that his affection increases and he becomes attached. When he becomes attached, then real devotion and devotional service begins. And then the reciprocation is due to attachment, then the Lord reveals. But first, when there's some affection, reciprocation is going to this, hearing about these descriptions, is that it's available to hear. That's reciprocation. Otherwise, how can we ever come to the point of attachment unless we hear first? And therefore, sometimes devotees, they think they can jump to smaranam without, shravanam. Yes. Everyone was surprised. Oh, as we understand that form is because of Brahma's, Brahma's benediction that he gave. Therefore, the Lord assumed that form. But then, nonetheless, Prahlad Maharaj got the opportunity to perceive that form. As far as it was a source of meditation, no, Prahlad wasn't meditating on the form of Nrisingadev. And the Lord appeared in that way that I know of.
When, for example, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present, he was seen by other people who were, for example, not devotees. What type of benefit did those non-devotees get by seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if
any? Oh, everyone got benefit simply by seeing. That was his immeasurable magnanimity. And when he manifests, that simply by seeing him, people actually, their love became awakened within their hearts, their attraction became awakened within their hearts. But it didn't always manifest immediately, just like there's the example of Devananda Pandit, who saw Lord Chaitanya, but actually he made fun of devotees and made fun of even the Lord in his mind when he saw the Lord. But because he got the mercy of Vakreshwar Pandit, who was such a wonderful devotee of Lord Chaitanya, and by getting the mercy of Vakreshwar Pandit, then he was able to realize, who Lord Chaitanya was. So there are examples that of persons who saw the Lord but didn't derive immediate benefit, but many did. Simply by seeing him, their desire to serve the Lord was awakened within their hearts, and many people would, and it's actually described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that those who saw him, their love of Godhead was awakened, and they became so impotent and so empowered that even by seeing those persons whose love for Lord Chaitanya was awakened by seeing him, others became devotees of the Lord. Such was the potency of Lord Chaitanya Of course, Prabhupada also speaks about in the purport to Paramakaruna that Lord Chaitanya was so potent that even the animals in the forest of Jarakanda became great devotees. He said, but this is something that the Lord can do. We should not think that we can imitate, but at least we should try to make human beings devotees. So even the animals became devotees by seeing Lord Chaitanya. The lions and tigers, or those with natural animosity towards each other, they were found embracing each other, having come in contact and seen the Lord. So, because of that form, and yes, it was a form that was attractive, but not just the form, because his form is such an individual, but it was the form, but because of his total absorption in his heart, his total meditation, and his complete compassion, that devotees, just by seeing how he relished love of Godhead. It was not just the form, but his form was that which was totally relishing love of the Lord. And then by seeing how he's relishing love of Godhead as well, the heart, his bhav, because he was in the mood of Srimati Radharani, who is the greatest devotee, who's the topmost relisher of Krishna's love. And in that mood, he was manifesting that, and therefore he assumed, he was so much absorbed in that mood, he assumed the complexion of Srimati Radharani by assuming a very golden, attractive complexion. But that complexion was not just simply, he happened to be golden, but because he actually absorbed the bhava, the mood of Radharani, and his complexion became golden. So it is the internal absorption as well as his features that were manifested before that attracted people and purified them by coming in contact with him. That was his magnanimity. Whereas what Krishna says, avajanati mamudha manushim tanamashita, he said, fools deride me when I descend in my transcendental form. Because when Krishna appeared, although his form was such an anavigraha, still, he came to manifest his sweetness, madhurya, but Lord Chaitanya came to manifest Audaya, the Lord's magnanimity, which was making Krishna accessible to everyone, whereas Krishna didn't make himself accessible to everyone. He said, fools deride me. Even they see me and they think I'm simply an ordinary person. I'm going to give quick answers. Well, then I don't want to hear it.
I have one related to this topic.
Huh?
You told that we have to meditate on the devotee serving to the Lord.
Oh, it is on the topic of the class.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, I'm sorry.
We see the various characters, they are transcendental. So it is related to those pure devotees we have to meditate. Or, we are living in the temple. Sometimes we are coming in the temple. We are serving in the temple. And we see the devotee, they are fully, putting their whole heart in the services. So that services also we can meditate, right? Because they are easily accessible to us, not the character in the Bhagavata. We read and we understand that how Yashodamai serving Krishna.
It depends on one's faith. Depends on what one's meditation is. If one actually wants to become a good servant, then certainly he meditates on those who are good servants. Right? We oftentimes quote the verse from the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, which describes that pure devotional service rendered to the Supreme Lord is so transcendentally potent that simply by hearing about such transcendental service, simply by glorifying such service in response, simply by meditating on such service, simply by faithfully and respectfully accepting such service, and simply by praising the service which is rendered by others, then even a person who hates the demigods and all living entities can immediately become purified. So simply by praising the service rendered by other devotees and by meditating on their service, if we perceive that service as purely motivated, then naturally we should glorify them, speak about them, hear about their service, meditate on their service, because it inspires within us a desire to become more pure in our service and to actually become more qualified to serve. So natural. So if that's, you know, how we want to serve, you know, serve the Lord in the capacity of those that we're serving around, then we certainly should look for a devotee to praise. Look for a devotee who recognizes, here's a devotee who serves in a way that's very attractive to me. And actually, we should serve that devotee. Because that's how to actually become free from envy. That's because as long as there's envy in the heart, there's no question of being able to serve the Lord. As long as there's envy towards any of the devotees of the Lord, that you're not going to get in. You're not even getting in the first gate. Because the Lord's always surrounded by his devotees. So there's no question of having a relationship with the Lord. You can't go by bypass the devotees. So wherever you see a devotee, however that devotee's service is manifest to you and it's appealing to you and attractive to you, then serve that devotee. And then someday we may become qualified for mantra upasana. Nonetheless, still, the descriptions are there. Bhagavatam is filled with mantra upasana and svarasiki.
Pseudo devotees,
yeah.
So how do we make sure that whatever practice we are doing, we are not at pure level, that we have some attachment, we have some aspiration, we are praying our Lord Yogi. So how do we understand whatever practice we are doing, it is not pseudo practice?
As I just said before in answer to the previous question, we have to find a devotee who can better understand our hearts better than we can. That's how to check. That's our process of check and balances. We all need to have an association of a devotee who knows us better than we do, knows ourselves, who can see something that we have blind spots. Because we all have blind spots. You know, especially if we become a little bit proud, which pride is, you know, the most dangerous feature for advancing in devotional service. And if we actually become a blind spot, we can't see something which is an obstacle in our path of devotional service, the Lord will put us in association of a devotee who'll be able to, or put it in association of other devotees who'll be able to point it out to us. But if we become so close to it, and then we think, oh, they don't understand me, then we'll have to live in a speculative world of thinking that, you know, I'm absolutely right, absolutely, and I'm just, my meditation, my service, everything is completely in line. Not that we exclude that; we have to be introspective. But we all need to find somebody who actually can understand us if we're not on that spontaneous platform of devotional service. Therefore, we have to seek out their association and serve them. And by serving them, so many wonderful things will be revealed. So many wonderful things will be revealed. You'll actually... What is this noise? Does that answer your question? Okay. I'm going to end here, so you don't have to worry about the noise. What? Quick question?
Yeah, quick
question? Is a quick question with a quick answer?
Maharaj, while living in the community of the devotee, you know, our material mind is so much contaminated sometimes, and we carry the material aspiration in the devotional life, and what happens, you know, the tendency of labeling the devotee. Some devotees, you know, we see them externally, and they commit some little bits, you know, in services, they do little bit offenses to others, or they commit certain mistakes.
Okay, I understand the point.
The tendency to label them.
Yes.
So how we can come out of this tendency and see...
We tend to label devotees due to our social interaction.
Yeah.
Right? Due to social interaction, and then you begin to... Because, you know, familiarity breeds contempt, as Prabhupada himself stated. Familiarity breeds contempt means that you begin to see the shortcomings in others, and then everybody gets labeled according to their shortcomings. And then we become so expert in meditating on the shortcomings rather than to see the good qualities. And therefore, if we find ourselves to be a victim of continuous labeling of devotees, then we should understand that the first devotee that really needs some serious work is me. Because if I can't see the good qualities, I can't help anybody. And that's what Jiva Goswami explains, the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. He says such a person who labels devotees and can't see their good qualities is useless for preaching. Better he keeps his mouth shut. He can't correct anybody because that's all he sees is their shortcomings. Because the only way you're going to help somebody is by appreciating the potential they have for devotional service and bringing out the good qualities in them. That bringing out the good qualities will automatically overshadow and purify the bad qualities. But just simply to be the person who points out the bad, you do nothing except destroy your own heart. You'll find yourself outside the association of devotees in due course of time. That's how dangerous it is. That's how dangerous. Therefore, a devotee understands that if I can't appreciate, recognize, and see, then the real person I should be becoming angry with and pointing out and labeling is me. I'm a fault finder. That's it. I've got my label. I know who I am. I'm a fault finder. What does a fault finder do? He works on himself. He has no business working on others. I'm a fault finder. All I can see is the faults. How can I help anybody? I'm just a pretender. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta explains these very clearly in Amrita Vani. He talks very elaborate detail how fault finders deal with themselves, should deal with themselves. Does that answer your question?
So that is the greatest offense, right?
Well, it's not the greatest offense, but it's an obstacle for advancement. Definitely an obstacle.
But sometimes we fear that by associating with that devotee, it's because he is making offenses with some other devotee. So by associating with him, we may get that tendency. So that is another part of the question.
Yeah, therefore Rupa Goswami says, for those who are, Prakriti Bhaktas, we respect them from a distance. Those who are more absorbed in service, we offer obeisances to them. And to those who are free from the tendency to find fault with others, right, and fully engaged in devotional service, we faithfully serve them. Rupa Goswami, Rupa Deshamrita, three classifications. It gives specifically those who are most advanced, they're free from the propensity of finding faults in others. And they're always absorbed in serving. So we serve them. So those who are Prakritas, we, from a distance, okay. We respect them from a distance. We keep our distance, don't get too close. The professional fault finders, I'm speaking about. Okay. Hare Krishna. Jai. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.